Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Here we go. Moment of truth. Door swings open. First one coming through is the suspect. I locked eyes with him.
He knows who you are.
Yes.
He's going to find you.
This guy.
You're like, oh man, what happened to you? Oh no.
Hey everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Personality Hires. I'm joined by Jackson.
You.
I'm joined by Rebecca.
What's up everybody? How's it going?
And I'm joined by Mikey.
Woo pig suey.
Oh.
And
he did it again. He had a second chance and he did it again.
And I'm Abby. And I can't remember what we were getting into first. So who feels the most passionate about their story? Was it Rebecca?
Mike,
what do you got for us this week?
Well, I had myself quite a run-in with the old coppers yesterday, and not in the way that I'm used to, or fear constantly.
Do you constantly about getting in trouble with the police?
Yeah, who doesn't? Right?
Well, it sounds like you're doing things that might get you in trouble with the police.
No.
Are you still underage drinking?
Yes. I would say the first. It's really the second time I've had to dial the numbers 911. Third time I've actually done it. First time was a prank call as a child. Got in a lot of trouble for that one.
You did
no
not.
Way.
Yes, I did.
You prank called 911?
Both my friends prank called their parents, and I was like, oh, I got a good one. Get a load of this. Called 911. No, my dad was on the other line, and he immediately was like, stop. Like, yeah.
This gives me and Mikey one more thing in common, because I also called 911 as a child when I didn't need to.
No.
Yes, I know.
Why? I bet you actually complained about something.
No. I think I was just like curious. I think I didn't realize that something would happen that when you're 9 years old and you call 911, I thought like, oh, you called 911 and you just like go to the operator and then everything's fine. But an actual cop showed up to my house and I didn't.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so
the audacity.
I know.
Gall.
I just hid in the shower. But they were like, yeah, we heard a kid on the line and we thought she got abducted or something. And my parents were like, no, she's an idiot.
So, yeah, they tend to do that. They tend to show up when you call. Except for sometimes they really don't want to, which is my experience last night. There I was, wrapped in a blanket, playing Minecraft, exploring the Nether region, and watching the season finale of Better Call Saul for the 10th time.
Mm-hmm, classic. Love that for you.
When all of the sudden, all hell breaks loose in the apartment above.
Was it because you were exploring the Nether region too much?
It frightened me. I thought there was a ghast up there. But, no, so, yeah, all hell breaks loose, just crashing and banging. That's at first. Now, banging, I could get over that. The crashing was the concerning part. And following the crashing and banging was screaming. Mm. Toe-curling screaming of a woman.
Toe-curling is kind of pleasurable sound.
I was about to say, I'm like, Mikey's just not used to hearing toe-curling screaming from a woman.
Someone was watching Hated Rivalry.
Finger-curling. I don't know. I'm not sure what kind of curling it was. It was stomach-curling. It was
curling.
Something. It was Olympic curling. There was an issue of violence of most likely the domestic variety.
Mm.
So, too late for a trigger warning, but someone hit me with a trigger warning real quick.
Trigger warning for those who are affected by domestic violence. Mikey, continue.
It sounded like somebody was dying. And so my girlfriend says, we got to call the cops. I'm like, oh, I'm not a cop caller, but this seems real. This seems like really something here. You know?
You're like, hang on. Maybe she really did burn the chicken for dinner tonight.
She's still moving.
That's much.
Yeah, you're done for.
Sorry. Shut up.
I called the police, and I think I have a lot of what is the word? A lot of leniency for these phone operators who probably get just nonsense call after nonsense call. I have seen the nightmare ones where it's like, this is a terrible person. How did they get this job? Of course. But I assume most of them are there to do their job and they just get a bunch of dumb calls all day. But I called and she said, what is the address of your emergency? I said, dumbly, I can admit this was a dumb move. I said the name of my apartment building. Mm-hmm. And she goes, not the name of the building, sir. The address.
She was jerky.
Oh. Yeah. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm a little rattled here. I don't like calling this number. So finally she's like, all right, well, what's the problem? And I was like, there's a quite a ruckus upstairs. Sounds bad. She's like, all right, we'll send somebody.
But was your wording, there's a ruckus upstairs?
No. I was very eloquent. I said,
okay,
we're sitting here on the couch upstairs. It sounds like there's a real issue going on. Someone's getting hurt. They're screaming in a way that is pretty scary. So we'd like for you to have somebody come out here and check it.
How long was it going on?
By the time we called, like 10 minutes, it went on for like 30 minutes.
Oh, my God. That is really scary. Had you heard anything from this apartment before?
Yeah, I mean, just loud stuff, but nothing concerning. Like, I just assume a guy wears big shoes or something, which doesn't really...
Just stomping really loud.
Yeah, it doesn't really concern me, doesn't warrant a cop call. Because, look, I'm not a cop caller. I don't enjoy to do that. She just kind of didn't believe that anything was actually happening.
It's like Jackson is a phone screener. What's your name? What are you calling for?
You think they know what pressure is?
Yeah, they have
imagine
no idea.
Imagine calls about winning Taylor Swift tickets.
They don't know. 911 callers should take a semester on like the Burt Show and see what real pressure is.
Yeah, they have facts. No idea.
So about 10 minutes later, I get a phone call from a random number. Turns out it's the policeman. He called me from the squad car and was like, all right, what's going on? And I explained the thing eloquently as I do. And he said, is it like an emergency type of scream or is it like help me type of scream?
Wait,
and I was like, one of these is a correct answer, but I can't really tell which one.
You're like, can you give me a hint?
Mikey's just like, do all of the above.
So I'm on speakerphone. My girlfriend is next to me and she is furious. So then the thing occurred where he was standing at what he said was 600, which is my apartment. He's like, I don't hear anything. And I'm like, well, you're at the wrong apartment. Here, I'll come outside and see you. I'd open the door. No policeman to be found. Call him back. He's at the wrong apartment.
No way.
Yeah. And he's like, so how do you get there? And I was like, brother, you guys have Google Maps?
It feels like you're dealing with like your Uber Eats driver.
Exactly. That's what this whole thing felt like. It was like DoorDash because like I didn't even know they could just call you from their phone. He was just calling me on his actual phone, just being like, hey, I think I'm here. Are you outside? And it was bizarre. There's two ways to look at this. I hope I'm right, so I'm not wasting the police people's time, but that also means I hope there's a lady getting beat up.
Jesus.
And number two, I hope I'm wasting the police time and no woman's getting beat up. Right?
You got a double-edged sword there.
Yeah.
It's a catch-22 if I've ever like, heard one.
I just called the cops to try to be a good person. How am I on trial? So, what image do you conjure whenever there's a policeman going up into an apartment building? You never see them riding an elevator. You see them just hammering up those stairs, right?
Yeah, with like a battering ram of some sort.
Yeah, exactly. So I just assume policemen take stairs. That's what they do. So I led this guy to the stairs, ran him up six flights.
My God. Like,
is there no elevator in this building?
So on flight three, he goes, dude, is there no elevator? And I was like, oh, no, I should have. But just real quick, I was like, dude, they're frozen up. all this cold weather.
Oh my God. He's going to be out of breath before he even gets to the situation.
No, he told me, like, he's like, if I have to fight someone, I'm going to be winded. And I was like, stand outside the door for a second. I don't know what to tell you. Elevators are froze up, brother.
You're like, do you need to come inside? I'll give you a Gatorade.
I opened the sixth floor door for him, and then I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go back to my apartment. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Am I supposed to roll up to the door with him? Like, I'm getting no direction from him because he's out of breath. As the door's shutting and he's walking in, he goes, you're going to have to open the door for me again. And I was like, wait, what? I'm going to have to...
Is this the only cop available in Atlanta?
There's no way I'm supposed to just stand there and wait for him to drag this guy out of that apartment. And then that guy looks at me.
Wait, open what door for him?
Like... I didn't even think that all the way through either. He can get out from inside of there.
Yeah.
I don't know. He told me to stand there.
He's like, here's an extra gun. Get behind me.
Grab my taser. We're going in.
So I'm like, am I supposed to just be this guy's like doorman? What happens? I stayed in the stairwell, but went back down to the fifth floor. And then I called my girlfriend. I'm like, just come over here. I have no idea what to do. So then she ended up just coming out and we just stood by the stairwell like, I guess we're going to have to help out at some point.
Why would you bring your girlfriend into this situation?
I don't know. The policeman's there. It's not like anything bad's going to go down now.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Strange feelings come along with making a police call. I'm going to be honest. When's the last time y'all made a police call? It's like, I can't tell if I'm doing right or doing wrong.
I've made a police call twice, and both times I had sort of a similar situation where they were not happy to have to do any sort of job, which, to be frank and fair to them, I wasn't really giving them a real job. I definitely called them for reasons that I did not need to, which was I had to tow my car and I didn't know what to do. So I called the cops.
Oh my gosh.
I got stuck on the side of the road at Buford Highway trying to go to this little hole in the wall dumpling place. I didn't know what to do. I thought maybe a cop could like pull me off or like help me like push my car or something. So I called the cops and he just showed up and he was like, I'll call a tow truck for you. And I was like, okay, thank you, sir. And then he just sat in the road like literally making traffic behind him as he like played on his phone and waited for the tow truck to come. So that was the last time I called the cops.
That's why you have the non-emergency line. But I get that they're probably fatigued from getting calls from women who don't know how to use the tow truck line. But have you ever listened to one of those true crime documentaries where people are in actual danger? Like somebody's gotten murdered and it's some 21-year-old calling because their roommate was strangled. And the dispatcher is nothing but disgruntled and unhelpful. There's someone on the line being like, I can't find my roommate. She's coming up. And they're like, calm down. What color is her shirt? Where's the address? What did you have for dinner last night? Like, it's just so unhelpful to where I'm like, are we not paying them enough? Are we not training them well? Like, why are we hiring like the most disgruntled human beings to help us in our time of need?
I agree. But it's also like, you got to imagine they're just getting nonsense call after nonsense call. So I'm giving them a lot of leniency here.
I completely agree.
But
I doubt they're paid like anything above peanuts, honestly, as well. Also, I love listening to 911 calls. They're very scary and they're kind of fun to listen to. Have you ever heard Travis the Chimp 911 call?
No.
There was a person owned a chimp named Travis, and Travis one day turned on their owner, and there's a 911 call of the friend watching Travis go literally ape. And it's one of the most famous 911 calls, and I recommend anyone who wants to be very disturbed to listen to it.
Horrifying.
Trigger warning.
That's the one where they're giving the monkey Xanax and the monkey ripped off her face.
Yes.
Yep. Classic.
Oh my God.
Crazy.
You guys also have to understand that as a 911 operator, you've heard like the craziest, most insane, traumatizing things that they have to deal with in their own way. Like, because you're hearing it and it's shocking to you doesn't necessarily translate to the way that they're just trying to get information out of the person.
I mean, there was high turnaround for the Burt Show's phone screener. So, like, being a 911 operator, I cannot even imagine that sort of stress and pressure. You're talking to a person as a 911 operator who is having probably one of the worst times of their lives. So it's like you probably get used to it and desensitized to it, but you still have to, like, treat that person like they're having one of the worst times of their lives. You have to give them a little bit of grace.
Absolutely. I was being as low maintenance as I could be. Snap back in, all right? We're in the stairwell. We are awaiting anything that could happen and thinking out, like, what could go down right now? Because if the policeman walks back down here alone, I'm in trouble because I called the cops for no reason. If he comes with a suspect, then the guy that lives right above me is going to see me, and he will be able to seek revenge at a time he sees fit. Yes?
Yes.
Maybe.
I mean, less about the first part, more about I would not want the guy to know that I was the one that called the cops.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
As we're thinking through all these options, we hear that of his little radio walking down the hallway. And we go, uh-oh, here we go, moment of truth. Door swings open. First one coming through is the suspect. I locked eyes with him.
He knows who you are.
Yes.
He's going to find you.
This guy.
You're like, oh man, what happened to you? Oh no.
Free my guy. Free my neighbor. That's he didn't it. Do anything.
That's Come it. On. Who snitched? Who snitched?
I literally would have done something like that.
I turned to my girlfriend. Did you call the cops on this young man? What the hell was that? We ran out of there, which also embarrassing, like lock eyes and then dart away from the situation. It's no. Like, I'm not supposed to be here. I don't understand why I had directions to stand there.
Did he
took him to the elevator?
That's what, so that is my biggest concern now. That's my biggest unanswered question. But first, let me tell you, this guy was not in handcuffs, but he was carrying a backpack. So the way I understood it is like, he couldn't really get this guy on any kind of charge, but it was one of those where it's like, all right, you guys got to separate for the night.
Yeah.
Get it together. Try it again tomorrow. So I get home and my adrenaline is just pumping, coursing through my body. And nothing even happened. Like, I just locked eyes with a guy I called the cops on. Like, that's just normal white people shit. But no, I was stressed out. It was a lot to take on. But
so
don't.
You have no idea what happened. He wasn't booked. He wasn't taken in. Like, nothing else happened.
Then Trent said, text him. And I was like, this is insane. Why am I texting with a cop? Like, this is just nutso bizarre land. So I'll read you what I texted him.
You
so,
actually oh my texted God. Him?
Yeah. I mean, now I just have his number. So it's like, I could just like hit him up and be like, dude, they're at it again.
You're like, did I just get assigned? Are you my personal cop now? Isn't that how that works?
Which, by the way, this might put a little bit of a downer on this story. I did something good, but she's not dead. But right before we started recording this, I heard them arguing upstairs.
Oh, again? Oh, my God. Yeah.
They're back at it.
Get your guy online.
Yeah, he's back. They're going to come. If you just get taken away for the night, like, I go sleep somewhere else. Like, yeah, you just come back in the morning. All right, here's what I texted Mr. Policeman. Hey, you need anything else from me? Thought no. long and hard about that question.
You did not say that.
What do you mean?
What?
That's
because
hysterical.
We wanted closure. We wanted to know what happened. Wait, why is that weird? I thought so long about that text.
What could he possibly need from you?
Because I'm the, like, witness or whatever, and, hey, I'm about to stuff a sock in your mouth because he did need something from me.
Oh, tell us.
He said, your ID. Lowercase ID, no punctuation, no nothing. I have issues with people that email and text too formally, and this seems like a situation where you would text a little bit formally, but I don't know how things are run. I'm sure he's doing it right.
Your but, identification, good citizen.
But I said, just a picture, question mark. Are you still here, question mark? And like, it's like we're texting just like friends. He's like, as the reporting party, separate text, I left.
Oh, wow.
Nah, dude, I already left. You're still at that function?
Oh, my God.
So then I sent him the ID, and I said, because, listen, we're digging for any answers we can get here. I said, are you able to give me an update on what happened? No response whatsoever. Mm. Until 9:47 this morning, verbal argument between two people. One had to leave. I'm not one to jump ahead, but I'm not sure this relationship's going to work out. I need more from him. This hinge date's never happening.
I'm confused about how did you get his personal number? How was that given to you in the first place?
Because he started calling me, and he's like, "Hey, I'm outside," and I'm like,
"Oh wow!"
The 911 operator for sure gave it to the cop to so that he would have someone to contact once he got there.
Mikey, you're a hero, though. You thwarted the bystander effect, and you went into action when you were needed, and I commend you for that. You did a good job.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Not all heroes wear capes. Sometimes they wear trucker hats.
It doesn't feel that. I wouldn't recommend it. Just kidding. Do it. Just do it. It was a crazy experience. But now we have one thing to debate here. My girlfriend wrote a note today, and she wants to put it on their door. Now, obviously, it changes things. Now that we know that he's back up there, she wanted to clear our name of like we weren't trying to be annoying. This wasn't a noise complaint. We just wanted to make sure everyone's okay.
Do not do that.
No.
Well, then there we go. All right. Thank you. I said, can you wait to put that there until I can consult my counsel and see what they think?
As a person who comes from a family of lawyers, I will represent you right now and tell you that that is a terrible idea and could lead to escalation. And I don't think you want that.
Thank you. 100%. It was a good thought, but now that I've brought it to the council, I think we can go and rip that thing up.
Also, just because the guy saw you in the stairwell doesn't mean that he knows that you were the one that called.
I feel like Mikey looked guilty. Like, no, I was, feel like he's just standing there like...
I looked like a guy ready to spring into action, and also a sprinting away either means... Like, he could think we were doing something illegal and we were trying to avoid the cop. No, sir, we were trying to avoid you.
Okay.
The cop walks out and is like, oh, dude, thanks for calling me on that one. We got him. You did all the right things, honestly. Like, you did what you needed to do. I think you stuck around a lot longer and kept yourself involved way more than you needed to.
I didn't want to be. Well,
good job, Mikey.
This might be my new hobby. I'm going to start calling him much more often.
Just call this one cop.
Oh, yeah. I was direct line.
Yeah, now you're buddies.
Why do I feel like we're going to get a DM from one of our cop listeners and be like, that's not normal. I think the cop was just wanted to give you his digits.
And this is like,
just someone who wanted to talk to Mikey and wanted to steal his identity. It's like,
fan of the Bird Show.
I need your ID, social security number, and passport photo. All right, well, Mikey, even superheroes need days off, so I think you should give your upstairs couple a break for a hot second.
Hey, everybody, I just wanted to jump in here and say, I don't know if I hammered home well enough that this policeman, he did nothing wrong. He's just doing his job. I'm sure he deals with nonsense all day. He took care of the situation. He did what's right, and actually, just as this podcast ended, he called me on the phone and gave me the lowdown, so... I wanted to make sure that I was very clear about that. He did nothing wrong. Now, back to the show.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. Do you guys want the good news or the bad news?
Bad.
Well, I want them simultaneously.
All right. We'll record this and then we'll layer it on top of each other so the waveforms go at the same time.
No. Okay. Not for no, switch. I want them at the same time.
All right. Switch back and forth every word. Tell two stories at once.
I think I could do that. All right, I'm going to give you the bad news first.
Okay.
The bad news is that unfortunately my time of relaxation is over. I'm not going to be able to just get up every day and relax and maybe pet a dog because I got a job offer today.
Whoa. Stop! Wait, here we fucking go!
Yes! Yes,
that's
queen.
You, Rebecca?
I know. I'm so excited. And I have not signed it yet, but I will be doing that. It's for a agency in Los Angeles that does like a lot of really cool social media campaigns for movies like Barbie.
What?
Barbie. Ooh. Wicked. Lots of video games, tech companies. So I will be a social media manager for a little agency in LA.
Hell yeah. Wait, do you have to move?
That's huge.
No, it's remote.
Oh.
Totally remote, which I'm very excited about as well. But yeah, I'm super excited. I'm finally gainfully employed. What do you mean?
What do you do?
I'm a social media manager, so I'm basically executing campaigns for clients.
Are you?
I don't know really.
One or is there a team?
It's a team. So I'm going to be reporting to like a director, basically. It seems a little less creative than my previous job, but there's room for creativity. And I had an interview with them on Friday and they loved me. And they said, Rebecca, join our team. And I'm going to say, okay.
That is awesome. Congratulations.
Thank
Very
you.
Good.
Now you can stop texting me about getting you a job.
Oh my God. Literally, that's the craziest thing. My friendships have all just been, please, give me a job. Give me some money, please. And I fear burned some bridges with my begging, but now I don't have to because I'm gainfully employed.
Let's go. At what level were you at in your sort of fun employment? Was it still fun employment or were you getting to a point where you were like, all right, I got to start doing something now?
It was fun employment because I finally was like picking up contract work and freelance work. Like I had social media gigs through other people, through people I had contacted and networked with. I had a lot of dog sitting jobs, which was actually paying pretty well. But I will 100% take this job and the health insurance and the benefits and the PTO and like having a career again. I'm so happy.
Hell yeah. We love stability.
Me too. Yeah. So excited for you, Rebecca.
Thank you. Well, that was the bad news. The good news is I had surgery.
Oh, no.
Did you mix up good and bad news?
Is that how you gave it to us at the same time?
Yeah, this is me giving it to you at the same time. I had surgery, and I'm going to see how briefly I can tell this story, but I feel like it's a good story to share. So before we left from the Burt Show, when the Burt Show ended, I had shared on air that I was having a biopsy done in one of my lymph nodes, and that biopsy had come back totally clear, which, yay, everybody loves, and I was so happy that I could end my term on the Burt Show, not ruining Burt's retirement and telling everyone I had cancer. For like a year and a half, I had been doing immunotherapy, which is a treatment that was preventative to make sure that I'm cancer-free. And, you know, it's not something that doesn't have side effects. It's not like chemo and radiation, which are like, they have super acute side effects. You notice them. Immunotherapy had sort of cumulative side effects that basically gave me like an autoimmune disorder that I'm slowly kind of like exiting the symptoms of that disorder where my lymph nodes were lighting up and they were enlarging and they were swelling. I was getting rashes and my poop was not good. My poop was bad. Bad poop. So I thought you guys would laugh at that.
Define. I guess I need a definition for bad poop. Like, is it coming out and yelling at you or are you just constipated?
Oh, it was screaming. No, opposite of constipated. I basically got like treatment-induced IBS, which was not the tea. But one of my things.
She blew up the toilet at her boyfriend's.
Oh, my gosh. Is that related?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? My immunotherapy-induced poops that ruined Thanksgiving. My doctor had always told me that my lymph nodes would probably light up on scans because that's just a part of immunotherapy. I had been getting scans more regularly because that started happening. I had enlarged lymph nodes in one side of my neck. I had three of them, and they kept lighting up, and they seemed stable. But my care team, who really cares for me and loves me, they first got me a biopsy, which I talked about on the Burt Show, and that came back totally clear, and everyone was really happy. And then a few months later, I had another scan, and they were still lit up, and one of them had gotten bigger by 2 millimeters, which is not huge. Honestly, it's within the realm of being normal, but I had now had these enlarged lymph nodes for months, like 6 months about. And because I'm young and my care team really loves me and they care for me, they wanted to make sure that I do not have cancer, because when I finished treatment like 2 years ago, I had a recurrence. I've already had cancer in 2 lymph nodes before. So they wanted to make sure that I don't have cancer anymore, that I am good. So they decided to go ahead and be very conservative. And I went under the knife.
And not in a fun way.
Not in a fun way, in a fucking sucky way. I want some fillers or cosmetic work. That'd be fun. I want like fun work. I want fun anesthesia. But yeah, it sucked, because you know what the worst part of having a PET scan and having to do surgery is? Fasting. That's the worst part.
How long? 12 hour?
So you have to fast 6 hours before, like completely fast 6 hours before your surgery. But the day before a PET scan, which I don't always have to get PET scans, those are like more conservative. They basically force you to go on the paleo diet, which is like you can't have any sugar and you can't have any carbs. All you can eat is meat and cheese.
Ugh.
And I want a coffee.
Mikey's on that all day long.
Damn Republicans. Conservative.
Ta-da. Yeah. Oh my God.
That's where you're doing that joke.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job.
Ta-da.
Mikey's like, Rebecca's got a conservative surgery. They're turning her into a Republican.
Uh-huh. So my surgery was yesterday. It was not an invasive surgery. It was an outpatient surgery. And basically my doctor, who I love, my surgeon is an angel on earth. He's always been the guy who's helped me along and knows me very well. He made 2 cuts in the side of my neck. So now I got 2 new scars, and he took out 3 lymph nodes in my neck. And what I wasn't expecting was that I would get the pathology back that day. I thought I was going to have to wait. And I was there with my mom and Kyle, my boyfriend, and I was so scared.
To me, this sounds like when you get the test back the day of versus having to wait. And like, you usually want it up front, right?
It's so contradictory, because of course you want the results as fast as possible. But when you are like learning if you have cancer or not, it's like, it's just knowing that, like, in 3 hours, I'm going to know if I have cancer or not. That is just so terrifying. It's like you're on top of a roller coaster and you are not ready to go down. And this whole time, you know, waiting to get surgery, I just was thinking to myself, you know, all I want in my life, I want, like, so little. All I want is a job that I don't hate that pays me enough to have my own apartment. To be with Kyle and be happy and be with my friends and my family. That's all I want. That's all I ask for. And it just felt like it was going to be torn away again, because this was such an escalation and I was so afraid. But I have to shout out Kyle, because, you know, we've only been dating 9 months and he came to the hospital with me and he held my hand while I was wearing the goofiest scrubs and looked like I looked insane. I literally looked like a lunch lady wearing my hairnet, and he held my hand and they injected me with the fun drugs that I do really love and would like more of. And they wheeled me in. And then the next thing I remember is my surgeon looking at me, and I'm in the OR and I'm waking up. And he tells me everything came back negative.
Woo!
No cancer.
Wait, that's literally the first thing you woke up to?
I literally am looking in my surgeon's face, and he's like, Rebecca. And I'm like, huh? What? Huh? And he's like, everything came back negative. I'm so happy. I'm going to call your mom right now. I can't believe it. You know, I'm so happy. I feel like I can't. It's just a sign to never take anything for granted. And then the next day I got a job because I literally was telling Kyle in the waiting room. I was like, now I have to get a job. Fuck.
Whoever has your voodoo doll, I want them to take my voodoo doll, please. You're having amazing luck. That's awesome, Rebecca.
I know. Shit. Yeah. There's one more thing I wanted to kind of share, which was an interesting thing that did happen. It's sort of a trade-off that I've experienced from having the surgery and making this is like I've gotten the final definite news that I don't have cancer. And now it's been 2 years. 2 years of being cancer-free. Statistically, that really drops any chance of a recurrence. So I'm feeling really good about that. I do have a little bit of a side effect from the surgery that I did not expect. No, the poops are still bad, but that's unrelated.
When are they going to turn good? When's that over?
Girl, I'm asking everybody that myself.
What
is
the surgery I can get for good poops?
I would like. I'll take a pill. I'll pay a subscription fee for good poops because I want them. They are firming up. They're firming up slowly but surely.
We don't need to know that.
All right, send a picture, Rebecca. Jeez,
sorry.
Okay, one of the lymph nodes was up by my jawline, like right under my jaw. So he told me it's right by a nerve that controls part of my lower lip. So they were going to be very careful and they were going to do like a marker basically to make sure that he doesn't, you know, agitate it too much, but I might, you know, have paralysis of my lower lip. So this whole time I get the news. I'm good. I'm smiling. I'm having a good time. I'm going home. I'm high as hell. I get home and I look to Kyle and my mom and I'm like, you know, everything feels normal on my face and I'm smiling at them and I say, I guess my lip was fine. And I smile really big at them. And I go, ooh, and their faces looking at me. They're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, no.
No.
And I'm like, okay, that was an interesting reaction.
That's never the reaction that you want after you smile really big at people.
So I was still really groggy from anesthesia, but I walk into the bathroom and I give myself a big smile and I'm like, oh no, my bottom lip is totally paralyzed. So now I have like a full on like Joker smile where like my bottom lip will not move when I smile. So it kind of looks like I'm just like in a constant smirk, like, see, wonder how I got these scars.
You're going to be a big star, kid. Big star. You see?
Literally. And I just want to like tell this little story because it really means so much to me. Because I mean, it's funny to talk about now that I'm not groggy and high and I feel better. But I immediately was devastated. I fell apart because it's really upsetting to, I love my smile. I think my smile is really beautiful. Kyle has always told me that he thinks I have the prettiest smile and it's one of the things he loves about me. And I was like, now I'm fucked up. Like, I have a weird fucking smile now. And I don't know if this is permanent. I don't know what's happening. So I walked out of the room and I just like fell apart. And Kyle was waiting for me because he knew I was looking at it. And he like sat me down and I was crying. I was just crying and talking about it. And he told me, he was like, you never have to worry. Like, I always think you're the most beautiful. You know, I still think you have the prettiest smile.
Oh,
wow. Shout out Kyle.
Shout out Kyle.
Shout out Kyle. Yeah, and then he said, by a woman.
He really and then he said, now wipe that smirk off your face. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it just, no, that's okay.
That's so
fun,
man.
No, it just made me feel like I really chosen the right one because he was just so much there for me. And I mean, I couldn't ask for more. And obviously, I'm so happy that, everything came back negative, and I'll take this over having cancer. It's actually gotten better, and I did learn that it's most likely going to go away. Like it's like this.
Oh, it already looks so much better.
Yeah, yeah, I can't barely tell.
I sent y'all a picture yesterday where it was like really janky, really fucked up, but now it's definitely like. This is perfect for an audio medium.
Can I say though, yesterday when Rebecca was texting us about like surgery went well, like all this stuff, and then you made like the side comment of, oh, but I might have a fucked up smile forever. none of us could read that that was a serious comment that you had made. So Mikey's immediate response is, send us a picture.
And no, I said, I just said,
no,
proof.
I think it's a
proof.
Yeah, his exact word was proof.
I knew it was a risk, but was that allowable?
It's allowable because also, like, why wouldn't I be joking? Like, literally about having a fucked up smile from surgery. I don't know. Like, I mocked you for having, like, a grandpa die, I'm pretty sure. So you can mock me about having a wonky smile.
Well, none of us really realized, like, that you were being pretty genuine when you said it. And so I was like, and then I saw you saying, like, no, actually. And then,
yeah,
everyone was like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I kind of messed up the setup. I think I texted you. Surgery went well. Do you guys want the good news or the bad news?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had trouble following what was going on there.
I was really high. Yeah, I was very, very high. But yeah, now I have a few more scars. My smile might be a little wonkier. We'll see if that resolves. It's gotten better already, which I feel very grateful about. But I'm just so grateful that I'm cancer-free. And now I have a job? Everything's coming up, Rebecca.
It's all coming together for you over there. Hey, how's this for a bumper sticker? I'll make you one. Scars are cooler than tattoos. And workshop it a little.
Why was I expecting that to rhyme or something? I thought that was going to be like a Willie Nelson lyric.
Nope.
Make that for me, Mikey, and I'll put it on the back of my car.
Will do. Well, can do.
We are very happy for you, obviously. Fucked up smile and all. So congrats on that. Congrats on that. Congrats on the job. Hey, you're looking up.
Guess who has brought another fun fact to the table?
Oh.
Go ahead.
I was assigned to bring a fun fact to the table every week by Rebecca, so I would be useful at all in trivia. And this week, I come to you with this. The word Nimrod. Does anyone know this one?
Continue.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Now, this is a word. What do you think Nimrod means? Is it good? Is it bad?
It's bad.
Yeah, I think it has a negative connotation.
Well, you just might be incorrect because Looney Tunes screwed up the meaning for all of people. All of people? They made an episode where somebody calls someone else Nimrod, but it's sarcastic. But the folks back home, they took that as Nimrod. I don't know that word, but obviously it means idiot or something like that because of the way that they used it. So, ever since then, Nimrod has been sliced and diced the wrong way, served up cold as ice.
Wow.
Okay.
Good?
That was pretty good. I like that.
Hopefully it comes up at trivia.
Well, thanks for that little tidbit. I'm glad all of us Nimrods could get together and catch up on what's going on in our lives. Rebecca, you look beautiful with your smile, and I'm glad that Kyle didn't break up with you.
Yeah, he's still going strong. We'll see if it sticks around for like two more months and see if he still suffers through it.
Moral of the story, shout out Kyle.
Shout out Kyle.
Love you, Kyle.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Personality Hires. If you folks at home liked it, please rate it, review it, do anything to it. Our YouTube page is currently under construction. We got the jackhammer out. It's on the way. You can find us on YouTube at Personality Hires Podcast. We hope to see you there. We're getting some big things up and running, coming soon. If you want to see some clips of this episode, check out Instagram, where our handle is Personality Hires Podcast. Send in your any advice you need. Inhumane Resources, we'll help you out. We'll solve your problems. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Pioneer.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.